Okay, Ian Rappaport, Adam Schefter, they haven't tweeted out anything about Aaron Rodgers. We've seen Trey Wingo tweeted out that it should be a done deal with Aaron Rodgers going to the Jets, but I mean, isn't the law of the land if Rappaport or Schefter didn't tweet on it, even if they're two conflicting reports, then it's not true yet?
So this was from a tweet from Aaron Lemming from NFL. At Rap Sheet reporting on the NFL Network that, quote, nothing has happened as of now between Rodgers and the Jets. Ian Rappaport, quote, tweeted saying, I wish it did. I wish something had happened, but nothing has happened.
It's probably going to happen still. I mean,
I don't know.
Oh, man, you don't know.
If Ian doesn't say it, it's hard to believe.
It's hard to believe. I mean, even
though... There's only two people you can trust for this stuff, and neither one of them have confirmed this.
True, but... can you trust him? Because remember back when the Broncos hired Sean Payton, Schefter had one report, Rappaport had the other. Somebody was right in that. Somebody was wrong.
It's a 50-50 shot.
Both of those guys are amazing. Top-tier guys. But somebody was wrong that day.
Well, Rappaport works for the NFL.
So that's why I would... but Adam Schefter, of course, was from Denver. Like, he was a Denver guy. So maybe his connections, I mean, that they both make sense as to why they could have been right. But obviously Schefter reported that the Broncos, Sean Payton he was their guy the whole time. Rappaport reported that that they were going to go elsewhere.
No, I'm not seeing anything from the NFL, ESPN, anybody. No one has been able to confirm
this. Angel. It's not done. Anyway, Rappaport reported that the Broncos' first choice was like D'Amico Ryans, was Harbaugh and all that, and Sean Payton was down the list. So somebody was right. But they're not reporting on it. This hasn't happened yet. I don't know. Was it going to happen? And then the Packers said,
Jalen Ramsey's down there. I don't wanna throw those guys. I get it. It makes sense.
That does make that division tough.
Anything to make the Jets fans get hopeful for just a bit and then just crush their dreams.
Jets thing to do.
You're running it back with Zach Wilson.
Yeah, right. Come on. I thought the Jets would for sure get one of these. Like, I thought Derek Carr was seeming like a realistic possibility.
Baker Mayfield, although he's being linked to Tampa right now.
Is Baker going to make it? Is he going to get one more shot?
I think with Tampa, yes. I feel like he would fit in Florida.
Yeah, probably would make sense there. Well, it's a wild day, man, and we might get a little crazier if this Aaron Rodgers thing comes true. The Broncos have taken care of business so far. Ben Powers, 4 years, $52 million. Mike McGlinchey, 5 years, $87.5 million. They got some studs. Right tackle, left guard. And you got Jared Stidham as well, backup quarterback. Okay, that was somewhat of a need. And then according to the free agent ratings list, the Broncos get Market's top left guard and top right tackle. These are the kind of moves that the Broncos were able to make when Peyton Manning was in Denver. You know, Elway was able to make a lot of these moves because Manning was a beacon for players. Is Sean Payton, does he have that power? Because, dude, if you're Mike McGlinchey, are you just wanting money? A lot of these guys just want money, but they also want to go somewhere where they can compete, too. I don't think they're going to just go to a crap team. Like, I don't think we were going to see Mike McGlinchey signs with, you know, somebody that's really bad right now, the Rams. We're not going to see that. We're going to see him sign with teams that they think maybe can get better.
So both of these guys come from run-first type of offenses,
yep,
in San Francisco and Baltimore.
Yep.
Is that an indication that the Broncos offense is leaning more towards run first?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's, I kind of feel like that's what Sean Payton was doing with the Saints at first. And obviously as Drew got better, they were able to air it out a little bit more. But this is going to be a team that wants to run the football. They're going to set up the play action. That's what this is, 100%. Getting these two guys obviously would help any offense, but knowing that they were both involved and, you know, with Ben Powers in Baltimore, he's blocking for a running quarterback. Mike McGlinchey's blocking for a very unique offense that has, you know, different weapons you can use. So this is definitely setting up for more of a creative run game in Denver. You're going to see a lot of Russell Wilson under center, turn around, hand the football off. Play action, roll out, all that stuff is going to be a heavy part of this team. And this is why I would like to see a tight end situation improve in Denver. You know, if Greg Dulcich is going to be the guy, okay, can you stay healthy? But I think with that rollout game, with that play action game, you're going to want to be a good tight end football team. And now you hear the rumors of, you know, Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, and KJ Hamler. I don't think they're necessarily on the trade block, but they're mentioning that they're interested in moving on from those guys. But they do want. You know, they're not just trying to offload those guys. What I was reading this morning, Angel, was that they want to get the fair market value for both of those guys, so it's not an offloading of contracts.
When you think of the Saints and wide receiver, who comes to mind?
Well, Thomas, right?
Anybody else?
For receiver? Currently?
Or just at all?
Well, I mean...
What I'm saying, it's not a wide receiver-focused offense, or that it's one really good guy and a bunch of other guys.
They were kind of at their best when they were running the ball well.
It was Mark, like Thomas, Ingram, Kamara, Ingram, and then Hill.
Kamara, yeah. I mean, in Michael Thomas, like, what's his story? Is he...
He had a toe thing a couple years ago and hasn't been seen since.
Yeah, I don't know. They don't. You're right. You don't look at them and go, okay. He's going to build a team a lot like what the Saints were 4 or 5 years ago, which Peyton hasn't been out that long.
What, 2018, when they were in, where they were playing the Rams and they had the no PI call, like that type of Saints team.
Yeah, yeah, a team that can throw the ball and will throw the ball, but they're going to run first. They're going to set everything up that way. You know, Russell Wilson's been bugging the hell out of Drew Brees, trying to figure out what Sean Payton's like, what kind of coach he is, and how this is going to work. Those are monster moves, man. Just absolutely monster moves. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Got this news moments ago, too, from Brian Howell. How about this? The news keeps coming today, man. Colorado spring football game will, in fact, be broadcast by ESPN on April 22nd at 1 p.m. It's the only spring game that will air on ESPN's main network. Per a CU release, 35,000 tickets have been sold for the game. It will be by far the highest attended spring game in CU Buffs history. 35,000 tickets for a spring game. Tell me there's no primetime power going on in Boulder. What else, man? I mean, we just keep going here. Big news. And I wanted to spend a lot of time talking about the Nuggets today, but it's free agency time. We probably won't see a lot of transfer portal stuff this week until you start seeing teams knocked out of March Madness. Probably. I did see that Jamel Melvin, though, former UNC Bear, is entering the transfer portal. His dad retweeted it, so... Got to think that that's legit.
Not shocking. He didn't have a ton of playing time this year.
No, he didn't. Are we worried about the Nuggets? Are we worried about Michael Porter Jr. and Michael Malone? Now, here's the thing, Angel. Porter sat, was it the whole fourth yesterday?
Most of it.
Except for like 20 seconds. Malone was asked about it and said Porter had a great first half. But he said everybody was struggling. Everybody was struggling when you get outscored 37-18. Then the group that was in there in the fourth played well. I rode with that group. I thought Christian Brown's energy in 11 minutes, 7 points, blah, blah, blah. So he's saying everybody was bad in the third. Well, then why is Michael Porter Jr. the scapegoat? And we've seen him just play so well. We'll talk to Chris Dempsey about it coming up, 16 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310, KFKA.
Want to hear from the coach? Listen to Coach Speak, weekdays 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Three in a row now for the Nuggets when it comes to losses. Our poll question today, are we slightly panicked a little bit? There's a hint of panic in Angel's eyes today. Just a hint. And that's, you know, you're the world's biggest optimist here. So that, I don't know. We'll see. Chris Dempsey joining us now from Altitude. Chris, talk us off the ledge, man. Tell us it's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting part of the schedule for sure. And I guess I would just point at this right now. I mean, because what we're really talking about here, I think we're talking about two things. One, what is the condition of the team going into the playoffs? So how are you playing and are you healthy? And then part two, did you hold on to the number one seed in the Western Conference? And to that end, even as you have lost three straight games, and at the same time, the Sacramento Kings have won three straight games, and at the same time, the Memphis Grizzlies have won two straight games, you are still five games up in the Western Conference. And that's why you do what you do in the bulk of the season to get the cushion that the Nuggets gave themselves, because inevitably there's going to be a spot of, a bump in the road. And this is where they are right now. And quite honestly, I look at this and I think a lot of things about it, but obviously defensively they're not nearly as dialed in as they have been for the majority of the season. And that's really what's costing them here in these games. The games that are close are games that they have lost and probably against teams that you shouldn't lose to. So I just think they mentally and physically, I think we've seen a little bit of a wear down, just to be honest with you, with this basketball team. From grinding so hard and getting themselves to a space where they're seven or eight games up, in the first place in the Western Conference. And so now, they've kind of taken the pedal off the metal mentally, and I think it's cost them. But I don't see this, honestly, as a huge deal. Check back with me here in another couple of weeks if we're still kind of in the same space. My panic level will be a little bit higher. But I think you see this out of teams. Just about a week or so ago, we saw Boston lose three straight games as well. And so it's a tough task to be able to be dialed in for 82 straight games. You're going to have these periods where you're not, and that's where the Nuggets are right now.
Chris Dempsey joining us from Altitude. Chris, Michael Porter Jr., Michael Malone, any issues there? Obviously, we didn't see Porter late in that game in the fourth, and he referenced it at the end. He's like, it's hard to get into a rhythm there. And then a kind of a two-parter for you. On that note with Michael Malone and Christian Brown, too, I know in the past, playing rookies, except for Bones, because of necessity, it's not always something he's crazy about doing. So talk to us about those two relationships, Malone with Porter and Malone with Christian Brown.
Yeah, well, that's a good question. He added a layer of complexity to that MPJ relationship because, look, from a reporter standpoint, this is very fascinating. You have, I believe he was asked after the game, and I'm talking about Coach Malone here. He was asked after the game, how come Michael Porter didn't play basically the entire fourth quarter? And his response to that was this quote. He had a really good first half shooting the ball, but everybody in that third quarter played poorly. It wasn't just Michael Porter Jr. Everybody struggled when you get outscored 37-18. That the group that was in there in the fourth played well, and I rolled with that group. Well, all the starters played poorly in the third quarter, and four of the five got back on the court in the fourth quarter. And the only one that didn't get on the court was Michael Porter Jr., as they kept Christian Brown in the lineup, And obviously Christian Brown played very well. I mean, he scored 7 points, had a couple of rebounds. I think he had a steal and a block or something like that as well. So, I mean, his impact was certainly felt in that fourth quarter playing alongside the starters. But Michael Porter Jr. was probably on his way to about a 30-point night. And, you know, and that's, you know, he was shooting the ball really well. And quite frankly, especially at the end of that second quarter, the Nuggets needed some three-point shots to go down and to kind of get themselves back into the game. And he led the charge in that respect. His quote after the game was, let's see, somebody asked him, why he didn't play in the fourth quarter. And he said, I'm still trying to figure that out myself. I'm not the coach, but I'm still trying to figure that one out myself. And so when you have a player that's confused, who's having a good game and then doesn't play and is very confused as to why he didn't play in the fourth quarter, you can have the, you know, the beginnings of a fraying of the relationship. And, you know, theirs has been a complicated one ever since MPJ got there. You know, he played well, you know, and then didn't play at all, and he was very frustrated after the first season, his first full season of being on the court. And so now it looked like they were past that, and now you have this instance here where he was playing great offensively, may not have been playing great defensively, but guess what? Nobody else was either, and he doesn't come back on the court. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see how that goes going forward, but certainly he was certainly scratching his head, and I think a lot of us were too.
Yeah, I mean, that's the very interesting thing on that side of it, because with Porter, you said it, nobody was really playing good defense at that point, and Porter's for some reason the scapegoat there. Chris, on Christian Brown, listen, I want to see more of this guy. I love when he plays, but really since the trade deadline, his minutes have just kind of been non-existent for the most part. Malone does, and correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, I know Bones Highland was out of necessity last year, but Malone's not eager to play a lot of rookies, it seems like. It just seems like that's been the case over the last few years.
Yeah, he's not eager to do that. He's very loyal to veterans and players who have been there before and players who he trusts, and he'll play those players first and foremost. Now, I'll say this about the Christian Brown thing. I think he absolutely trusts Christian Brown out there on the court. But I think your timeline is the most essential piece of this. So when you say since the trade deadline, he hasn't really been a part of the regular rotation. I just think that's in large part because they were trying to, you know, integrate Reggie Jackson and Thomas Bryant, and then Jeff Green, who had been missing some time. He had just popped back into the lineup. And then also because your starters were getting healthier as well, Bruce Brown's presence in the starting lineup wasn't a thing anymore. So now he's back on the bench. And so all of a sudden you have a bunch of players in front of Christian Brown in the rotation, and two of those guys were new to the team, and you're trying to get them up to speed with their new teammates and the new system. And so I think that those were the biggest reasons why Christian Brown has seen just a drastic reduction in his playing time. Now, look, the Nuggets have a couple of weeks here to sort out the bench, and if last night is going to be any kind of indication, like Thomas Bryant didn't play at all. And if the question is Michael Malone getting to a space where he just is saying, okay, the performance I'm seeing from these players is what it is, and now I'm going to rotate the bench as if they are a finished product and I know what to expect or not to expect, versus maybe we're still experimenting with some rotations and some players and some combinations and trying to get people in a good rhythm on the court. And so that's the reason why you wouldn't see a player like Christian Brown on the court right now, because he already knows what Christian brings to the table this year and is still trying to get guys like Reggie Jackson up to speed. It really does bear watching. I think this road trip will be, let's put it this way, the road trip has potential to be very telling in this area, because at some point Coach Malone is going to get to a space where he's just going to take everything that he is, all the play that he has seen, the data they have gathered at face value, and then he's going to start rotating the game. as to what that data and what his eyes have shown him. Right now, he's still in a, I think he's still in a space of trying to figure out what his eyes are seeing on the court. And so while that's the case, I think Christian Brown still will have a reduction in playing time. But if he gets into a space where he now thinks that he knows the players that he can trust, I think that's when we'll see Christian Brown's minutes start to rise a little bit again. Also, Vlatko Chanchar came back to the game, back to the lineup last night. So there's just a slew of players off the bench. And this is a puzzle that Coach Malone and that staff have to get put together.
Yeah, and Chris, I'm not asking you to throw Malone under the bus or anything, but just in the last three or four games, because the Toronto game they won, but still it took a crazy comeback. How do you feel his coaching job has been just the last four games? I mean, are we simply just going to say it's like a defensive thing with this team? Or has Malone, all those things that you pointed out, trying to figure out the best lineup, the bench, all that stuff, okay, I get it. That's still where you want him to shine, though. How do you feel he's done in the last handful of games as a coach?
Well, I think he's had a very difficult job. You know, I think the Chicago Bulls game was just a total... His team just didn't have it, you know.
Yeah,
exactly right. Yeah, so I'm just going to throw that game out as an outlier of what they've been the majority of the season. You know, I think from the last couple of games here, I think he's done okay. I mean, I think he's been fine. I mean, his team is just not playing defense. They were playing defense for the majority of the weeks and months before this little stretch. So, I mean, I can't just lay that at the feet of the coach more than the feet of the players from a focus and energy and effort standpoint. So, and like I said, I just think it's very difficult to do that as a player, to be locked in, laser locked in, both mentally and physically, 82 times. You're going to have these moments where you're just not, you just don't have it, or you're just tired, or you're just, you know, like mentally fatigued. And I think the Nuggets are mentally fatigued a little bit. I think they need a little bit of a recharge. And, you know, I think we're seeing some of that here in this losing streak. And so, you know, there's going to be a space on this road trip where it snaps back into place. I don't know if it's going to be in Toronto tomorrow. I think we all hope it is. But there are a couple of spaces in this road trip where they have 2 days off before the next game. And I think in those instances, it actually might just be, let's see, so we have Toronto. I think they play every other day. Then they play back-to-back, and they have two games off after the back-to-back. So, you know, we'll see, man. I think that this team does need a little bit of a recharge, and maybe mentally taking, you know, unfortunately for us watching, they're taking some of those breaks off during these games that they're losing. But if that helps them be in the right space when it actually counts, which is going into the playoffs, then I'm cool with this. I really am. That's why my panic meter is really low, because I feel like this was always coming. And, you know, if they can just not have it last for six straight games, that's great. And if they can have everybody healthy and laser focused in by the start of the playoffs, then that's all they're required to do at this point. They've done the heavy lifting. They're in first place. I don't think they're going to lose first place, even if it whittles on down to maybe even one game. I still think they'll be the number one seed. And then all you're required to do is be healthy and be playing well at the right point in time, and I think they will be.
Yeah. Well, let's hope so, man. As you said, this road trip is interesting. And then after the road trip, the schedule gets pretty dicey, too. So hopefully everyone's healthy, feeling good, getting along, too. Kumbaya maybe needed for this team, something like that. Chris, my man, appreciate you as always. Let's see how they do starting tomorrow with this road trip. Would be nice to win them all, obviously, but to come out of this one with a winning record on the road trip at least.
Yeah, that would be nice. A winning record on the road trip, so 3-2 on the road trip would be really good. I mean, look, Detroit beat them here at home, right? The Knicks beat them here at home. Brooklyn beat them here at home. So yeah. Those are three of the teams on the road trip. So it's going to be a challenging road trip, but maybe a little revenge will also help this team lock in.
All right, my man. Chris, appreciate you, my friend, and we'll catch up with you soon.
All right, man. We'll see you.
Chris Dempsey, Altitude Radio, Altitude TV. Yeah, the Malone thing, Chris isn't wrong when he's saying Malone's trying to figure out his right combinations, so maybe Christian Brown's minutes are deteriorating because he's trying to see what other combos work. like with Reggie Jackson and stuff. But I'm actually more on the line of, dude, he's a rookie. I want to keep giving him as much playing time as I possibly can if I think I'm going to use him in the playoffs. They need to use him in the playoffs. I felt that way against Toronto. Like, where is your defense? Where's your spark? That guy goes after offensive rebounds better than anybody on the team. And so I want to see more of that. Michael Porter Jr., again, Angel, we better hope that that does not turn into something worse. In a day and age where players are asking for trades, wanting to move on, not getting along with their coaches, we have to hope that that's not worse than it really is. Because Porter said, he's like, I don't know why I wasn't playing. He was 9 of 12, 3 of 5, 23 points, and then just shut off for the rest of the game.
Could it have to do with something that happened in the San Antonio game?
When he tried to choke somebody? Yeah.
Maybe. Even though, you know, his stance was almost justifiable in that, okay, yeah, you probably shouldn't have taunted after the dunk, but it was a big-time dunk. The Spurs player shouldn't have got back into his face like that, and Michael, don't put your hands on anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, and then maybe that was Malone suspended. Saying, hey, just take this one. If it's not, then I find it hard to think there's some kind of rift between the two, because at first it was a kind of rocky relationship, and then it was kind
buddy
of
buddy again. Up
then
until,
it got mended as yeah. Michael improved.
Well, if it's a disciplinary action because of the Spurs game, he shouldn't have started or he shouldn't have played.
Right.
But now you're trying to win a basketball game, and you're getting your ass kicked in third.
Is it worry about his defense?
Yeah, it is. And Porter's still, like we said, his improvement is getting better. He's getting better as a defensive player, but he's still probably never going to be a good defensive player. But Jamal wasn't playing great defense. Then he gets hurt. Caldwell wasn't playing great defense. Joker actually was. He's getting steals anyway, a couple of blocks. Gordon didn't look great. Bruce Brown, known for his defensive ability, he wasn't great. So why was Porter the one who can score at least? I mean, if I'm saying the defensive effort sucks, at least put the ones out there that can score. You may not be able to stop anybody, but you're scoring. If Denver doesn't win a title this year or doesn't get to the Western Conference Finals, serious conversations are going to be had about Michael Malone. I mean, that's just where it is. I have not felt that way all season with him. I've had every coach is going to have things that make you scratch your head. The last three or four games, I have not liked his coaching ability. I have not liked his decision-making. I didn't like what's been happening with Christian Brown. Reggie Jackson, he ain't it right now. I mean, it's on paper, it looked like a great move, but give Brown more of those minutes. I'd like to see that. Chris said it too. He's loyal to his veterans. You know, George Karl was a lot like that too. Andre Miller could do no wrong in George Karl's eyes. So hopefully they can iron these kinks out in the next couple of weeks. Jamal needs to be way better. We could be wasting a third year of peak Nikola Jokic if he is not healthy going into another postseason. Well, what I'm hearing is that his knee's fine. The MPJ thing wasn't defense. Practically no one was playing defense, and MPJ is having one of the best games of his career. Malone dropped the ball here. Porter can't understand it. He's like, I don't know what I was doing. I mean, his defense wasn't great, but it wasn't any worse than anybody else's out there. And again, if it was a disciplinary thing because of the Spurs situation, then don't start him. Don't do it in crunch time. I don't know, man. There's concern there. That's our poll question today. We panicked about the Nuggets right now. 38 minutes after the hour. Angel, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Are you ready for the whole show bracket challenge coming up? We get to it. I'm pumped, man. I haven't filled it out yet. I haven't even really looked at it all the way. I think I looked at where the Mountain West teams are. But we want you in on this. Holigans, if you're not in, if you didn't get an email from CBS Sports, which is what we do this thing through, then you're not a part of it. So if you want in, call right now or text. You can call 970-353-1310, or you can text us right now your email address, which is 888-530-0043.
Last chance.
This is it. This is the last chance, because we're gonna install the rest of the emails tonight or tomorrow morning.
Yep. Games start off tomorrow.
So get it in. If you want in on this, that's it. And those of you that were in this last year, you should be getting an email. So if you didn't, I don't know, man. We had one texter couldn't figure out how to text his email in. So
we got him,
though. We did get him. We're going to get him. We'll get that going. So this will be fun. I'm really pumped for this, man. It's going to be an exciting tournament.
Do you have a champion picked out yet?
Not yet. Although it's weird, I am kind of leaning on Alabama. I've watched more Alabama this year than I typically like to go with teams that I've watched and I know a little bit, or go against them too. Like, I'll use teams that I've watched throughout this thing. Alabama, I mean, Arizona's a two seed, but Arizona is interesting to me. I don't know. Kansas, every time I've watched Kansas this year, they've struggled. But I've only watched them a couple of times. That's the thing. You can outthink yourself if you actually do follow regular season college basketball. And I do.
Well, it's basketball. There's a better team, but the game itself could almost go either way.
That's why NBA always usually snuffs out the champion, because you do a best of seven. In a best of seven, the best basketball team's going to win. But in one game, just one game, anything can happen. And that's why, you know, you get hot. You get a player that maybe averages 10 points a game, suddenly gets hot, and he's got 30. He's hitting threes like crazy. Is St. Mary's? I think they're a five seed. Do you think any Mountain West team will do anything crazy here? You got San Diego State, Boise State. Do you think they'll go deep? Do you think they'll win some games?
Boise State's tough. They have Northwestern in their first matchup. Yeah. That's a tough one. Missouri, Utah State. I actually think Utah State could win that game.
I do too. Utah State's fun to watch, man.
San Diego State against Charleston. I don't know that school, so probably San Diego State.
I would think so.
And then we'll see if Nevada can get in. They have a
first-four game
against Arizona State.
Yeah, they got to get in first. There may be some Mountain West teams
play
do something.
TCU in that matchup.
And TCU, you know, with everything going on with them, with Eddie Lampkin and stuff.
And then Houston, their star player Sasser, he may be dealing with an injury. And then UCLA, they lost one of their big guys as well over the weekend.
Those are all things you got to pay attention to when you're filling this thing out, man.
I'm going to dive into
Purdue.
This
like Purdue?
That's their classic monster. Big, you know? 10 school. That's like, oh, they're going to make a good run, but they'll get to the Elite Eight, and it's ugly.
Purdue, and I've watched them a lot too. And they're a school that obviously they have one big thing that they do really, really well, and that's get it to their big guy. And away we go. But this is where you can outthink yourself. If you watch a lot of college basketball, then you think you know these teams. But the problem is March Madness, you don't get typically the same team that you were just watching.
When it's different for a lot of these teams, some of them are coming off 1 to 2 days rest. Others are coming off almost a week of rest from when they started their conference tournament. So it's a wide variety of experience versus time versus resting versus luck.
Well, it's like Lytle was telling us about, you know, San Diego State, because that matchup between San Diego State and CSU in the Mountain West tournament. It's like, do some of those teams like San Diego State say, man, over the years we push so hard to try to win our conference tournament that we're gassed by the time March Madness starts up? And so you see, that's a realistic thing. Some of these teams... That's something that you could look at too. some of the champions of their conference tournaments, if they were late into the week like we saw, the SEC championship, are they gassed? I mean, because that's why you see upsets in the first round sometimes, too. Is the champions of their conference, they just got done playing three games in a row, probably pretty stressful.
We think about a team like Montana State, their last game was what, last Saturday?
Yeah.
So they're going against three seed Kansas State. That's a potential upset.
That is a potential upset. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, sometimes I do just kind of close my eyes and point and shoot.
Flip a coin.
There's sometimes I do that because there's some schools like I don't know much about. There's a lot of schools I don't know much about. Didn't watch. I mean, I watched Michigan State games. I watched USC games. But I didn't watch a lot of
Grand Canyon University.
Not a lot of Grand Canyon University. Not into that. I didn't watch a lot of Arkansas or Illinois. So like that's one where I'd look at that and go, it's an 8 and a 9 seed. Flip a coin. Are you going to take a game that you don't know much about and go click on them and learn about them? I'm not going to go that far because then you do start out thinking yourself. Now if there were millions of dollars on the line, Angel.
Well, I mean, stats don't lie, but they also don't tell the full story.
Yeah, that's why this tournament is just, there's so many things that go against what you've been watching all season. It's the same team, but it's a different team out there. Should be fun. We want you in the mix. We'll be sending out that email tonight or tomorrow morning for the ones that just got registered with us this year. 48 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break. We'll get to what we learned. On the other side is the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Want to hear from the coach? Listen to Coach Speak weekdays 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
Okay, what did we learn on this 13th day of March? Well, we learned the Broncos aren't messing around. Ben Powers, Mike McGlinchey, right tackle, left guard, got that taken care of, got a backup quarterback in Stidham. Great. Very solid moves for Denver. I also learned that throughout the course of the show today, my confidence in Michael Malone is teetering right now. I'm not crazy about how he handled the last week of basketball for the Nuggets. I'm not crazy with how he handled one of his stars in Michael Porter Jr. I'm not crazy with how he handled his rookie in Christian Brown. Pressure is on Malone to get this right. You have to figure out your combination. These are the players you have. You're a number one seed. I know you have Joker, but you got to get the best out of these guys somehow, some way. Angel, what did you learn?
Let's see. Learn that you can't always trust every NFL insider.
Been there.
And even they can't trust you. Their sources because...
Well, Trey Wingo tweeted it. He's a respectable guy.
Yes.
And that was his real account, wasn't it?
Dov Cleveland, whatever his name.
Yeah, whatever.
He was trying to be the first insider to break this news. Turns out it may not be true. He tweeted Trey Wingo's first tweet and then a parody account that was pretending to be Wingo, saying, I jumped the gun on this, my bad. Now, Dov is getting roasted on Twitter because he posted a fake account as if it was real news. The truth is, Rodgers is not, as of yet, a New York Jet.
Well, I mean, a lot of people were duped. My guy Zach Stevens retweeted it.
He's got like, everyone.
Everyone.
Other than the two most important people.
Well, this is the Trey Wingo. This guy is legit, isn't he?
He's got a blue check mark.
He has 988,000 followers, and he tweeted, hearing Rodgers to the Jets is done. History about to repeat itself between New York and Green Bay. Time is indeed a flat circle. That's the legit Trey Wingo. But now we're hearing this is not true.
It has yet to be confirmed by the NFL's insiders.
I just don't know, man.
Yeah, Jets players tweeting about it. Hey, you don't get it too far ahead of yourselves.
Yeah. Be careful.
Make sure the jet's fueled before you can take off.
Yes, you do.
Got to check the wings and everything.
Well, it was a big day for the Broncos. I think the Broncos, for them, they won the day. They had several big needs, but they needed to get the offensive line figured out. They were able to do that. So great for them. Thanks to Adam Nygon for joining us, a radio color analyst for CSU basketball, Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. Another fun show here. We got March Madness. It's coming. Get those brackets ready to go and join us on Friday out at McCarty's Grill at 10 o'clock. Looking forward to that. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.